A peace conference aimed at reconciling Murule communities has been taking place in Juba. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, David. The conference in Juba was funded by Finn Church Aid as part of an ongoing reconciliation and mediation process between Murule communities. The conference was a culmination of meetings between a range of local and national figures. They'd met 3 days earlier in the Kuron Peace Village in a mediation hosted by three bishops from the South Sudan Council of Churches. Now, that mediation produced an agreement to acknowledge mistakes from the past that had led to communal conflict and violence, and to agree to advance a narrative of what they called One Murule. As you know, in addition to intercommunal tension and conflict with neighbouring ethnic groups, notably across the Jonglei and Capoeira state borders, there's been a significant amount of inter-Murule tension since the formation of Boma State, when the 28-state model was decreed by President Kiir. UNMISS, for its part, facilitated the travel for the four leaders to Kuron, in addition to the Boma State Governor's travel from Pibor to Juba. The participants have committed to unite in the interests of peace and development, which is obviously good news. Now, I heard earlier this week the Radio Mirai news report, which quoted the Pibor State Governor Sultan Ismail Kony as saying that politicians have given their word to work for peace. The leaders have all agreed now to move to Pibor to explain to local people what's happened and what they've committed to. And this is tentatively planned for the latter part of this month.
All right. We're also hearing development about UN police have been helping to protect women outside protection of civilian sites or POC sites. What could you tell us about this? Where is this happening?
Yes, well, security operations conducted by UN police, or UNPOL as we call them, in South Sudan around sites set up to protect civilians are helping to create more security now, especially for women. The UN peacekeeping operation UNMESS is currently providing sanctuary to some 214,000 people in protection of civilians or POC sites around the country. Now, women who live in the sites have complained frequently of being harassed and in some cases raped by gangs of men outside the camps.
And you went on one of those operations. What can you tell us about it?
So the operation that I took part in took place in an area just outside POC3 next to UN House here in Juba, in a small area called Mango Tree. Now, because of recent abundant rain, this somewhat hilly area is really overgrown with vegetation. And the cover provided by trees and high grasses can obviously be a welcome break from the searingly hot South Sudanese sun, but it can also conceal attacks against passers-by. And this is what many women have been complaining about. They say gangs of youths regularly harass or attack them, and as I said, there have been some reports of rape. It's worth saying, worth underlining, that with some 38,000 residents, POC3 is the size of a small town, and perhaps not surprisingly, like any other town, there's always the risk of some criminal activity.
So what did the UN police do?
So around 40 police officers were supported by Ethiopian troops. They went to this area to look for weapons and to talk to local youths who were hanging out there. 9 young men were rounded up and questioned in the area, carefully searched by UNPOL as well as by the UN Mine Action Service, or UNMAS. Nothing was found, and the men said they were just washing clothes in the stream. Still, I think they got a very clear message that UNPOL and the UN is serious about the safety of women and other civilians in this area. And of course, visibility is a crucial part of police work, and this search operation helped to enforce that visibility and provide a sense of security.
And what would have happened had weapons been found?
Yeah, good question, David. Had weapons been found, they would have been confiscated and the men detained and handed over to the local police authorities. the searches are really key to maintaining the civilian nature of the protection sites, and they build confidence outside the camps so that displaced people feel secure enough to return home and lead productive lives. And I must say, on a personal level, it was a great opportunity to see peacekeepers and UNPOL at work serving the people of South Sudan. So many countries were represented: Ethiopia, Rwanda, Ghana, Namibia, Brazil, China, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sweden. Now, you expect this at the United Nations, of course, but it's still impressive to see so many different nationalities with different work cultures working together for a common cause.
So we are hearing that Chinese peacekeepers serving with the United Nations in Juba have had many reasons to celebrate over the last 2 days. Why is that?
Well, yes, over the last week it was the National Day of the People's Republic of China, and there was also a medal parade ceremony for the 3rd Chinese Peacekeeping Battalion to serve with UNMISS. 698 men and women stood proudly in their immaculately polished boots, white gloves, and the classic blue berets with the UN insignia as they waited to receive the UN medal from the Deputy Special Representative of the Secretary General, Mustafa Sumari. Speaking at the ceremony, the Deputy SRSG, as we call him, said the UN mission recognised the dedication, commitment and professionalism of the Chinese troops.
And he also mentioned the contribution of female peacekeepers.
Yes, he did. He noted that 13 members of the contingent were women, highlighting the impact of female officers in peacekeeping. He said their role and contribution is especially crucial in a place like South Sudan because it helps to make uniformed personnel more accessible to the most vulnerable civilians. Obviously, women civilians, women IDPs, prefer to talk to women peacekeepers. The deputy UNMISS chief encouraged troop contributing countries to further strengthen the participation of women in uniform.
And what have those Chinese peacekeepers achieved?
A lot, David, a great deal. Since the deployment of this particular battalion in December 2016, the Chinese contingent has helped to build and maintain a safe and secure environment for the people of South Sudan, including patrolling at the Protection of Civilians, or POC, site near the UN base and taking part in search operations to keep criminals and weapons out of the site, as per the last story, of course. They've also carried out patrols within the capital, Juba, as well as long-distance patrols along dangerous and difficult roads to reach vulnerable people in some of the remotest parts of the country. The commanding officer, Ding Hai Long, expressed his gratitude to the UNMISS family for its continued support in helping the Chinese battalion, also known as Chinbat, to fulfill its mandate. He commended the UN mission for its efforts towards building durable peace in South Sudan. And in his address delivered in Mandarin, one of the 6 official languages of the UN, the Chinese ambassador to South Sudan, He Shangdong, said he was hopeful that the assistance provided to the people of South Sudan by Chinbat will contribute towards a positive image of both UN peacekeepers and the Chinese army.
And how significant a role China plays in UN peacekeeping operations?
Well, globally, a very significant one. For almost 3 decades, China has contributed more than 30,000 UN peacekeepers to 24 different missions across the world. And it's the second largest financial contributor to peacekeeping. At the ceremony this last week, a minute's silence was observed in honour of peacekeepers who have lost their lives in the line of duty within South Sudan, as well as in other UN peacekeeping missions. And again, on a personal level, you see the Chinese troops a lot in and around the UN house base. They're always friendly, they give you a wave and a smile, and are definitely recognised within the mission as being highly professional and diligent soldiers.
And finally, Ghanaian peacekeepers have been busy providing veterinary care in Bentiu. What could you say about that?
Yeah, just outside of Bentiu town is Biamruok cattle camp. And here you'll find a herd of around 2,000 white longhorn cattle grazing. Now, cattle, as of course you know, David, are an integral part of South Sudanese culture, and they also are a source of wealth. The ongoing conflict in South Sudan has not only taken a serious toll on the people of this country, animals, which are often an individual's most significant asset, have also not been spared from the devastating consequences of the conflict. Now, in Bentiu, the crisis has undermined veterinary services, which has meant it's almost impossible to find vaccinations and treatment for animals.
So how have UNMISS peacekeepers been helping out?
So since April, the Ghanaian battalion has been providing much-needed vet services free of charge, both in Bentiu and in Leer Town, south of Bentiu. And so far, over 6,000 cattle have been treated and vaccinated for common diseases such as calf diarrhea and complications associated with tsetse flies and ticks. Now, that's especially bad during the rainy season, I understand. Ghanaian Battalion Commanding Officer Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Zodua said that the work is part of their outreach efforts to help the local population in conjunction with fulfilling their mandate of protecting civilians and building durable peace. A local cattle owner, George Rio Jani from Mayom County, said that many animals had died, but since the intervention of the Ghanaian Battalion, he said that animals are now healthier, and that he's seen a significant decrease in the number of cattle deaths. So that's great news.
All right. Thank you very much, Daniel Dickinson, for your time.
Thanks, David. It's a pleasure to talk to you.